Today is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, and we have several announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. And now that we are on our summer schedule, we will not be having benediction on Sunday evening, so there'll be no benediction this evening. Tomorrow after the 8:30 Mass will be the cleaning of the chapel. And usually Thursday, there is no Mass scheduled here, but there will be Masses at 7:20 and 8:30 a.m. this Thursday. Chapel will be open. There will not be a Holy Hour this Thursday. And then this week is the first Friday of the month. So there'll be the regular Masses at 7:20 and 8:30. We are planning on having the Rosary after the second Mass, but depending on our Father Superior's schedule and obligations, it'll be announced after the 8:30 Mass if there will be a conference and or a Rosary. But just so you know that, on First Friday. Then this Saturday is the first Saturday of the month. Usual Masses at 7:20 and 8:30 a.m. And we want to thank those of you who assisted us in mowing the landscape yesterday after the High Mass. So thank you for that. Now this week, there are two Feria days. If you're familiar with that, that just means it's a day that there is not a feast day of a saint. So Tuesday, July 4th, we will have the votive Mass of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, because that feast is today, but the Sunday supersedes that. So that will be on Tuesday the 4th. And on Thursday, the 6th, July 6th, votive Mass of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Eternal High Priest. And we put in announcements that 2 weeks from today is the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So it's a first-class feast for the sisters, because the Blessed Mother founded the order. But because it's on a Sunday, it's not even commemorated as normally a commemoration. So the next day, on the 17th, we will have the votive Mass of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And I'm just mentioning that because votive Masses, you may have heard the term, but just a little history or lesson. The word votive comes from votiva, or means a vow, or a promise, or commitment, or an intention. So what the Church does is it allows the priest to offer a votive Mass of another intention, meaning in honor of our Lord, or the Blessed Mother, or a saint, or other intentions, or even the Mass of the preceding Sunday, which is preferred by the Church since St. Pius X. The reason that is done is because sometimes in a particular area or a special saint that a parish is devoted to, that Mass can be said. And so really any Mass on the calendar can be changed to a votive Mass on a feria. So, for example, one time our Father Superior decided on a feria to offer the votive Mass of Christ the King, and he just did that for a special intention. So just so you know that. And then before we give details about this week's saints, we have an announcement about catechism classes. Now, parents and children, do not worry. We're not starting the catechism classes during the summer. This is the Zoom classes, so I'll read it verbatim here. If you are new to our chapel or interested in a course that will both refresh your knowledge of the Catholic faith and offer you a deeper appreciation of all its traditional doctrine and practices, you are invited to join in person here in our classroom our live Zoom catechism class on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and on Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time. The next class will be held on July 5th and is a new class that has recently been started by Father Brown. So when I first read this, I'm aware that the other priests are teaching classes, but recently we decided to do more of these online classes. So this Tuesday there will not be one because it's Independence Day. So on Wednesday the 5th at 5:30, the reason we're saying Mountain Time, you all know we're on Mountain Time, but there are people in different parts of this country and different parts of the world that watch these classes. 2, 3, 5, a dozen or more are eager to have what you have, and so that's why we're doing it. So it's this Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. And then after that, it'll be every Tuesday and Wednesday. The Tuesday class will be at 6 p.m., but that is done by Father Simons, and he's teaching some of you in the classroom who are starting catechism, and he also it's a live class, so you can sit in, but also it's broadcast through Zoom, so just so you know that. So just to repeat that, Tuesdays at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. Zoom classes, but this Tuesday will not start because of the 4th of July holiday. And if you have questions, see one of us. The feast today, before we read the Epistle and Gospel, today and this week are the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So you are familiar with that. That is when the Blessed Virgin Mary, few days after she became the Mother of God, so she was, by the power of the Holy Ghost, had conceived of our Lord in her womb. But because she is a caring person, she realized, because she was told by St. Gabriel the Archangel, that your cousin is also a child, St. Elizabeth, who was advanced in years. She was beyond childbearing age, and she was 6 months ahead. So Blessed Virgin Mary says, she needs help. I'm going to help her and help her have her child. Of course, St. Elizabeth was carrying St. John the Baptist, the greatest preacher in history. Maybe 40, 50 years ago, our Father Superior says he never preaches, gives a sermon without invoking St. John the Baptist, Saints Peter and Paul, and St. Anthony. So that's what we do, because you know his success rate. It's the best. So, that is what the Blessed Virgin Mary did. And this is the feast. It's the second joyful mystery. But in these days, last decades, you look on a calendar and it's not there. Not ours, of course, but it's been removed. Now, why would the church take a second-class feast off the calendar? It had been there for so long. Well, if you're here yesterday, it's a continuation of the story of the forces, anti-Catholic, satanic, okay, these people who were attacking Rome and the Pope, satanic, anti-Catholic, heretical, who were stealing the property of the church, the central lands of Italy, the Papal States. So as we said yesterday, Pope Pius IX had to flee because they were going to kill him, assassinate him. And while he was in exile, Father Merlini inspired him to have a feast in honor of the most precious blood of our Lord. If he would do that, he would be freed and the forces of evil would be conquered. Well, that very day, June 30th, July 1st, the French army, Catholic army, destroyed the enemy. He instituted the Feast of the Most Precious Blood, as we said yesterday. But the next part of the story is, in thanksgiving to the Blessed Virgin Mary, he elevated, made a greater, higher class feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's a beautiful thing. Thanksgiving to God, honoring the Blessed Virgin Mary by her intercession. So in the modernist calendar, they've taken both of those feasts off. There's no such thing as the most precious blood of our Lord or the Visitation. They moved Visitation, I believe, to May because they don't want to remind the world or Catholics what happened on July 1st and July 2nd. That the enemy was conquered. Because they are afraid. They're afraid of this Mass. They're afraid of true believers. They're afraid of this community. So they ignore it or attack it. They're afraid of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So they have to be very clever. They don't wipe out the feast. They just move it to another month. So that is the story of this feast. And then on July 3rd, Saint Irenaeus. And he was a bishop and martyr, but his history, we can't go into details, but he was a disciple of Saint Polycarp of Smyrna. Now, I don't know if you know who St. Polycarp was, but he was an early martyr in the latter part of the first century. And St. Polycarp was a disciple of St. John the Apostle. So St. Irenaeus was a disciple of him. And he, St. Irenaeus, became the bishop of Lyon in France, which we visited some 30 years ago. It's a more American-style city, unlike Paris. So that beautiful city of Lyon has a great history, but if you follow what's happening in the world, the country of France is being attacked by anti-Catholics and pagans and very evil people. They're destroying Paris and Lyon. It's all to destroy two main subjects. One, the Catholic faith, and two, the French people. Meaning the French people, not the people who come in and know French and take over the country. No, I mean talking about the French people, to destroy their identity, because the French and the Catholic Church are united. And so they are going after them. You must pray for them, because they're after the United States. France and the United States have the most traditional Latin masses. So Europe, in France, that is the center of traditional faith, Catholic faith. Pray for the French people. On Wednesday, July 5th, is the feast of St. Anthony Mary Zechariah, who is from Italy. And he was a great preacher of and follower of St. Paul. His spirituality was based heavily on St. Paul, and so who was a disciple of St. Paul but St. Barnabas? And so the order that St. Anthony Mary Zechariah founded are called the Barnabites. But he was a saint who did many works, and he died when he was only 36. Who knows how he died, but it might have been some sickness. But what he did before he entered religious life and became a priest, he was studying medicine. He wanted to be a doctor. And he said to himself, that is one of the most exalted professions, but I'm being called by God for something even higher, to be a doctor of souls. So that is what he did. And he died in 1539. Thursday, July 6th, is the feast of Saint Maria Goretti. Do you know her story? We have her, a painting of her in our chapel. She's a martyr. She's the saint of modern times for the preservation of purity, especially among youth. There are documentaries, and we saw one, the priests saw a documentary about her. I think it was during Lent we decided to watch this story, and it is unbelievable, the details, and is very moving. How this young girl who has lived in poverty, because many people in the 1800s, but even into the 1900s where she lived, she just lived about 100 years ago, lived in poverty, so the father had passed away, and her mother would work just to sustain herself and her daughter. Well, they needed help, so they hired this young man who was a farmhand, so he would help out with the chores. But he had a problem. He had a habit of sin. He had deep in him the sin of lust. So he started showing interest in this young girl, Maria, St. Maria Goretti. And he was just being around her, he was tempted, and he thought, I have impure desires for her, and I don't want to get rid of them. That's what he was thinking. And so one time, the mother had to leave to go to town. And St. Maria Goretti was left in an upper part of the house, which still exists today. And so this man went up there and tried to assault her and rape her. She would not give in. She resisted. What you want is a sin. It offends God, he told him. And she was praying and resisting him. And because she was so good and made him feel guilty, he stabbed her and killed her and murdered her. And so he left her in the house, went back to his chores, and of course the mother came back, saw her daughter dead. And of course in the small town there was an investigation, and they immediately knew who did it, and he admitted it. Sentenced to jail. The corrupt police and lawyers and judges, unfortunately, were getting involved. Because they were trying to mitigate or eliminate the fact that he killed her because of her goodness and holiness. So that she would not be a martyr, dying for the virtue of purity, to uphold it. So he went to jail. And while he was in jail, he had a dream. And you know who appeared to him? Saint Maria Goretti appeared and forgave him. And instead of being despondent and having hatred for God and despair and on the road to hell, he decided to be good, to change his life. Not to be led by the devil or evil people, and so decades later, after he was released, miracles were occurring over Saint Maria Goretti's grave. People were invoking her and receiving favor. So, Holy Mother, the Church investigated, and after proven miracles that were real, she was beatified and declared a saint. They have on the internet videos, movies of the huge crowd in St. Peter's Square on the day of her canonization, which was proclamated by Pope Pius XII. And who that day was in the front row but Saint Maria Goretti's mother? She got to be there for the canonization of her daughter. And who was next to her but the assailant, who the mother forgave for killing her daughter. And he decided to tell his story and make it known, so he would give interviews, and he said what had happened. He gave the details because he was the only witness, but he, of course, admitted it. But he said to warn his fellow men and women, but especially men, young men, and for future decades and into our century, he said, the reason this happened is because I got involved with and attached to and a slave of bad pictures of pornography. Because when photography was invented, the earliest forms in the 1840s, but was much more advanced in the 19 early 1900s, the devil, of course, got involved, and so they had impure pictures and books and pictures. And so he became a slave of that, and that's what led to his sins. But he gave it all up and became a devout and holy Catholic. Because his little martyr prayed for him. Just like our Lord prayed for his enemies, she prayed for him and won his conversion. So that is the story of Saint Maria Goretti. July 7th. This Friday is the feast of Saints Cyril and Methodius, the two brothers from Thessalonica, which is a place was converted by St. Paul, the epistle to the Thessalonians. And they're blood brothers. And they decided to go as missionaries. This is in the 9th century, so it's like 1200 years ago, to a very primitive area of Europe, backwards. Crude people. Nobody here, I hope, is insulted. It's the Czech people, the Bohemians, the Moravians. And they were consecrated bishops, and they converted these people. And St. Methodius died first in 885. But his brother continued, St. Cyril, and he not only brought the faith to that area, the Bulgarians also, but into Russia. And these people were so primitive, they didn't even have an alphabet. And they just could not learn the alphabet and the culture of Europe, which was developing at the time, but based on Latin. So he created the Cyrillic alphabet. It's named after him. And that is what all of Russia and Ukraine and all those eastern countries, many of them use, thanks to these saints. And they even had their own rite of Mass, which the church really did not want them to have. They wanted them to have the Latin rite, but these people needed this, so they had the church tolerated the Masses that are true Masses, but done in that language, which now is a sacred language, Old Slavonic, as it's called. So just to tell you how these saints and Holy Mother of the Church, true Holy Mother of the Church, bends over backwards to bring Catholics to the faith. July 8th, St. Elizabeth, Queen of Portugal. And she was the grandniece of St. Elizabeth of Hungary. And as if you know your history of Europe, it was very common for countries' children and grandchildren, nieces and nephews, to be married to others, even from another country, to continue the monarchy, but it was also to promote the Catholic faith so that you'd have devout Catholics and children of them becoming monarchs and leaders of other countries. So that is all of the saints of this week. Now we'll read the epistle and gospel. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this were you called, that you might inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, Let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you suffer anything for justice's sake, blessed are you. So have no fear of their fear, and do not be troubled, but hallow the Lord Christ in your hearts. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel from this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 5, verses 20 to 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, 'Thou shalt not kill,' and that whoever shall kill shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'Thou fool,' shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. Therefore, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has anything against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So briefly about this secular holiday, Independence Day, 4th of July. For really most of us, it's just a day, so you don't have to go to work. You have your recreation and barbecues, and that's fine. Getting together with friends and relatives. But it's good to remember what it's based on. So this country was declared its independence in 1776 on July 4th from England, who was oppressing many of them. Many people over the centuries before the Declaration of Independence came to this continent to start a new life, to be freed from oppression or poverty in Europe or other countries, but also for Catholics, for missionaries, priests, brothers, and sisters. They came here to spread the faith, like the North American martyrs, St. Isaac Jogues. They really knew those great saints, the North American martyrs. They're called that because they came in the 1600s at the northeast part of North America, not to escape anything, but to just spread the faith. There was no United States. There were just settlements. And they came to parts of Canada and also upper parts of New York, what is now New York, to convert the native peoples there. They were accepted, but they were rejected. They made converts, but also they were attacked. That's part of being in the public. If you're going to be out in the public, whatever you're doing, secular or for God, you're going to have friends and you're going to have enemies. And they knew that. But they also knew their enemies were led by our Lord's enemy, Lucifer. They knew that God has the power to put down the devil and stop him. But they knew that God permits the evil spirits to tempt us, to tempt those they are trying to convert. Our Lord knew it. St. John the Baptist knew it. The apostles knew it. The saints know it. We know it. All of us know it. It's a battle. And so, when you think of Independence Day, yes, we're independent from England, but with the way the world is today, everything is so interconnected with economies and government bodies and all of that, and it really doesn't matter at this point. There is a virtue called patriotism, meaning love of the fatherland, the motherland, and loyalty to that country, to your country where you're born. But you don't have a blind loyalty. There's no person, there's no human institution that is perfect. There are pluses and minuses. But quoting our Father Superior, when he was in the seminary in Switzerland in the early 1970s, he would, between classes, maybe talk to the seminarians, and most of them were from France. And if you know the French people, they're the French people. They are very conscious of their heritage, which is great, their language, which is beautiful, the best on the planet, and they're among the most loyal Catholics. They're not very good at ruling, though. They've gone through so many governments and ways of ruling themselves, so they're not very good at that. And they know that. But Father would be talking to them, and they look down on Americans. That's just the way they are. So when we went over there 30 years ago to look at the beautiful shrines, Lourdes and in Paris and different parts of France, Father knows French fluently. I had my little French dictionary and was using cassette tapes, if you know what those are, to learn French. So I knew a few words. And if you tried to talk to them with English, because they all know English, every French person knows English. They're taught that. But they won't speak that to you because they're embarrassed. They have that accent, so they want to use their language. So they will put you down and make fun of you because of your pronunciation. But if you show you're trying and look up a few words, then they become great. They're fine. But the point is, they have a great heritage. And it's all centered on the Catholic faith. And that's what this country had in the early years. Even though those Catholics were persecuted, the church was flourishing, especially in the middle of the 20th century, from the 30s up to, but not including, 1962. So up to 1961. Converts, parishes, the Catholic churches were overflowing. They could not build the churches in the United States fast enough for the Catholic converts. So what happened? Well, the devil had to stop that. So he had his agents, and this happened all over the world, but especially in this country. the wealthiest, the most productive, the hardest working country. That had to stop, and that's what happened with Vatican II. There are no more converts, virtually, because whatever they're doing in the parishes, they're not learning the Catholic faith. You know why I know that? You know why the priests here know that? Because they've told us. We just had a seminarian or a candidate, possible vocation. And he told us, I was going to the RCIA program, and I went there, and he said, I wanted to learn the faith. And I said, oh, why don't you just wait for a year? He says, well, I want to study. No, you just wait for a year. So he started going to church. The year passed, and he just told us this a few weeks ago. A year passed, and then he said, okay, well, I've waited a year. Could you start? No, I think you need another year. Well, he gave up that and found a Latin Mass and became a traditional Catholic. The reason I brought up France is because those conversations, going back to that, that Father had with those seminarians, they started criticizing the United States to Father. And he had to defend his country in a nice way. He said, well, I know you have your culture in it. We're only 250 years old or so. And you go back over 1,000 years. But remember, there was World War I and World War II, and we bailed you out. So you wouldn't even be there or be here without us. So that kind of humbled them. The point of the story is you have to be loyal to your country. Whoever is attacking it, whether it's an outsider or someone who claims to be a citizen, you defend your country. You're aware of its shortcomings, but you're loyal. Patriotism is an extension of human love. It's an extension of love of God, love of our neighbor, love of ourselves. We're not supposed to hate ourselves. And what that does is, on a basic level, it makes us loyal to our friends, to our family, to our country, to God. Because if we can't be loyal to a friend or someone in our family who deserves it, even with their faults, how can we be loyal to God? In the epistle today, St. Peter is saying to us, be compassionate and not to lash out with our tongues. In the most basic level, he says, refrain. Refrain your tongue from evil. How many sins are committed by saying something even before we think about it? Who just cover our mouths? Do you know that beautiful image painting of Saint Dominic? One of the greatest saints of the church, founder of the Dominicans. It's a painting, and he's looking down. He's known for his silence, his patience with his neighbor. And St. Peter tells us to turn away from evil and do good. Seek after peace and pursue it. So, it's a little reminder during these hot days of summer to not, oh, it's summer, less obligations, more recreation, no school, whatever. It's a throwback to Lent. To Turn away from evil. If there is a vice in your life, in your soul, root it out, whatever it is. We all know our sins, our faults, our predominant faults. We know them. We have to work at it. As we said yesterday to some of you who are here, don't just try, but try harder. That's how you get to heaven. Our Lord continues that whole theme of this sins of speech in the gospel, but he's telling us, to summarize it, don't call your neighbor a name. Don't say, thou fool, and just out of contempt and hatred. But someone would say, well, wait, our Lord called his enemies names. St. John the Baptist called his enemies names. The saints would do it. St. John Chrysostom. So how do you reconcile that? What it means is using an epithet, an insult, is permitted to make a point when overcoming and attacking evil. So you can call the devil a name. Because he is a fool. The devil's a fool. And the followers of the devil are fools. The gospel, and this is the interpretation of the scripture scholars and the saints, because they're only following what our Lord did, who is God. When our Lord called them hypocrites, which is far stronger than a fool, or when St. John the Baptist said, brood of vipers, meaning snakes, you're a bunch of snakes. It was to put them down because of what they believe and how they're leading souls to hell. That's why they use the names. But apart from that, you do not use those evil terms against your neighbor. So just to make that clear. Finally, this little book was put in my hands about a month ago by a relative. And it's a little missal or prayer book. It's called The Little Key of Heaven, a manual of prayers and instructions for Catholics. And it's from, published in New York, and the imprimatur was Cardinal Hayes, who is Archbishop of New York. And the date of the imprimatur is May 28, 1925. So this book is about 100 years old. And it was printed, as it says here, I found this interesting. It says it printed in Czechoslovakia, which now is called Czechia. They've changed their name to Czechia. Slovakia is the other half, so they split in half. But it's a little prayer book. And looking at it, I realized there are devotions here to say during Mass, prayers before Holy Communion. Here is one, an act of faith before Holy Communion. O God of heaven and earth, Savior of mankind, come thou to me, shall I have the happiness to receive thee? Who could believe such a miracle of love, so wonderful a condescension, if thou thyself had not said it? Yes, O Lord, thou whom I am to receive in this august sacrament, born for my sake in a stable, was pleased to die for me on the cross, and glorious in heaven, are still concealed under these mysterious veils. I firmly believe this profound mystery of thy real presence. I believe it because thou who art truth itself has said it. I believe it, and though it is wholly incomprehensible to reason and impenetrable to human understanding, I submit my senses and my reason in the obedience of faith. Truly, thou art a hidden God, the God of Israel, the Savior. And then, this prayer to one of the greatest saints in the church, whose feast was just a few weeks ago, Saint Aloysius Gonzaga. O blessed Saint Aloysius, adorned with angelic graces, I, thy most unworthy suppliant, recommend specially to thee the chastity of my soul and body, praying thee by thy angelic purity to plead for me with Jesus Christ, the Immaculate Lamb, and his most holy mother, the Virgin of Virgins, that they would vouchsafe to keep me from all grievous sin. Oh, never let me be defiled with any stain of impurity. But when thou dost see me in temptation or in danger of falling, then remove far from my heart all bad thoughts and unclean desires, and awaken in me the memory of eternity to come and Jesus crucified. Impress deeply in my heart a sense of the holy fear of God, and thus kindling in me the fire of divine love, enable me so to follow thy footsteps here on earth, that in heaven with thee I may be made worthy to enjoy the vision of our God forever. Amen. What a beautiful prayer in this little prayer book. And in the front page here, because the little book has an image of our Lord with the first communicant, the girl, on our Lord's breast, and he's holding the chalice and he's about to kiss her. Just an artistic representation of what happens to us when we receive Holy Communion. But in this page here, it's dated April 29th, 1933. To my dear Angela, with tender love and affection, in remembrance of your solemn Holy Communion, Grandmother. So as my great-grandmother, who gave my mother this book on her first Holy Communion, as her little missal and prayer book, because as we've said so many times, every moment is precious while you are at Mass. And your prayer book, your missal that has prayers in it, and the prayers of the Mass keep you attentive. Keeps your soul focused on God and what's happening. And then that's how you get to heaven, to keep praying. May God bless you.